Late that afternoon, he came to a crossroad, and the sign of much cavalry having passed this way a few hours ago. His own way led north to Chambersburg, but he knew that Longstreet would have to know who these people were so close to his line. He debated a moment at the crossroads, knowing there was no time. A delay would cost him daylight. Yet he was a man of pride, and the tracks drew him. Perhaps it was only Jeb Stuart, the spy thought hopefully, wistfully. If it's Stuart, I can ask for an armed escort all the way home. He turned and followed the tracks. After a while, he saw a farmhouse and a man standing out in a field, in a peach orchard, and he spurred that way. The man was small and bald, with huge round arms, and spoke very bad English. The spy went into his act. A simple-minded farmer seeking a runaway wife, terrified of soldiers. The bald man regarded him sweatily, disgustedly, told him the soldiers just gone by were PLU soldiers, Yankees. The spy asked, "What town lies yonder?" And the farmer told him, "Gettysburg." But the name meant nothing. The spy turned and spurred back to the crossroads. Yankee cavalry meant John Buford's column, moving lickety-split. Where was Stuart? No escort now. He rode back toward the Blue Hills, but the horse could not be pushed. He had to dismount and walk. That was the last sign of Yankees. He was moving up across South Mountain. He was almost home. Beyond South Mountain was Lee, and of course Longstreet. A strange friendship. Grim and gambling Longstreet, formal and pious old Bobby Lee. The spy wondered at it. And then the rain began again, bringing more lightning but at least some cooler air, and he tucked himself in under his hat and went back to Hamlet. Old Jackson was dead. Good night, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. He rode into darkness. No longer any need to hurry. He left the roadway at last and moved out into a field, away from the lightning and the trees, and sat in the rain to eat a lonely supper, trying to make up his mind whether it was worth the risk of going on. He was very close. He could begin to feel them up ahead. There was no way of knowing when or where, but suddenly they would be there in the road, stepping phantom-like out of the trees, wearing those sick, eerie smiles. And other men with guns would suddenly appear all around him, prodding him in the back with hard steel barrels, as you prod an animal. And he would have to be lucky, because few men rode out at night on good and honest business. Not now, this night, in this invaded country. He rode slowly up the road, not really thinking, just moving, reluctant to stop. He was weary. Fragments of Hamlet flickered in his brain. If it be not now, yet it will come. Ripeness is all. Now there's a good part. A town ahead, a few lights, and then he struck the picket line. There was a presence in the road, a liquid southern voice. He saw them outlined in lightning, black, ragged figures rising around him. A sudden lantern poured yellow light. He saw one bleak, hawkish, grinning face. Hurriedly, he mentioned Longstreet's name. With some you postured, and with some you groveled, and with some you were imperious. But you could do that only by daylight, when you could see the faces and gauge the reaction. And now he was too tired and cold. He sat and shuddered. An insignificant man on a pale and muddy horse. He turned out to be lucky. There was a patient sergeant with a long gray beard who put him under guard and sent him along up the dark road to Longstreet's headquarters. He was not safe even now, but he could begin to relax. He rode up along the road between picket fires, and he could hear them singing in the rain, chasing each other in the dark of the trees. A fat and happy army, roasting meat and fresh bread, telling stories in the dark. He began to fall asleep on the horse. He was home. But they did not like to see him sleep, and one of them woke him up to remind him, cheerily, that if there was no one up there who knew him, why then, unfortunately, they'd have to hang him. And the soldier said it just to see the look on his face. And the spy shivered, wondering, why do there have to be men like that? Men who enjoy another man's dying.